The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Warning. This is a comedy podcast that provides an irreverent, sarcastic, less than serious look at events described in the Bible. It contains profanity and explicit content and may not be suitable for children under 14. Listener discretion and a sense of humor strongly advised.
In a world where the Holy Bible is actually a streaming television show with a gigantic special effects budget, two people boldly watch and review every episode. Join these scripture script doctors as they discuss all the on-screen drama and off-screen hijinks of this fictional hit series.
Hello, and welcome back to Wrath of Pod. I'm Deanna.
And I'm Marcus.
And I hope everybody had a great little break. We are happy to be back with you.
So this is our overview of the Holy Bible Season 1. Each week we've gone through each episode, one by one, all 12. And now this is our discussion of the whole thing, looking at it from a bird's eye view, a dove's eye view, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
And thanks. I thought of that on the fly.
Oh,
okay. See what I did there?
What you all pay us the big bucks for.
Bits on bits, baby. Okay.
Okay.
So today we're going to be reviewing the whole season. As always, we've each independently been making our notes, but whereas normally we would make our notes from the episode and compare those and share those with each other, now we'll be sharing questions that we've each come up with to ask the other person. And I am excited to share some of these with you and see what your answers are going to be.
I'm excited too. I'm a little scared about what you may have come up with.
But... appropriately scared. That's appropriately scared.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, here we are. No turning back now.
Yeah, no turning back. We're going forward with Season 1:Genesis.
Last season on Wrath of Pod.
All corners of the internet have been talking about this show.
God twirled his arms in the air, magicked up the earth, the water, and the sky.
The woman gets cursed, the man gets cursed, and they get thrown out of Eden. God throwing a temper tantrum. He's going to destroy the whole world. You put several thousand animals on an ark with 8 people. What did you think was going to happen?
We got Abram and Sarai going to Egypt. But Abram tells Sarai, pretend to be my sister. God's like, I'm unleashing a plague. He loves nations for his carrots and plagues as a stick.
Lot gets taken captive and Abram rides to the rescue. Then they chop the foreskins off of everybody's penis. Hey, Game of Thrones, hold my beer.
Sarah and Abraham have a baby, Isaac.
God tells Abraham to take Isaac up to a mountain and kill him.
Abraham's not the kind of guy to refuse a double dog dare.
An angel suddenly appears and you pass the test. Sarah dies. Abraham has to bury her. And he goes to talk to the sons of Heth.
Really embracing their metal roots. Rebecca met Isaac.
They had this little meet cute.
Her pregnancy feels a bit tricky. Of all the things that could have come out, a red, hairy kid.
It was a little Hellboy, a little Teen Wolf. Jacob comes out normal.
Esau giving Jacob his entire birthright in exchange for the stew. You never should go shopping when you're hungry. Jacob, he's in this goat costume to be like his brother. Isaac blesses Jacob mistakenly. Esau's pretty upset.
Jacob is traveling.
Laban introduces his two daughters, Rachel and Leah.
They're putting up numbers on the board to see who can have the most children.
Rachel pimps Jacob out for root vegetables.
Rachel has a son and names him Joseph.
God challenged Jacob to a wrestling fight with the stadium and audience.
He really has favorite child status. Joseph is Jacob's favorite son. Jacob gives him a colored tunic. The other brothers sell Joseph as a slave. We have a full-on withdrawal method illustration.
Joseph tells the truth that he is their long-lost brother. He forgives everyone.
It is easy to be magnanimous when you are the second richest, most powerful person in the country. Pharaoh now owns all of the land in Egypt and has all of the money and all of the livestock. Jacob has a little private meeting with Joseph and his sons.
The 12 tribes of Israel. This is great if you are called the wolf or the lion. But if you're one of the shitty tribes, that's gotta really suck.
And then Jacob dies.
He said at one point that God will visit the family and bring them out of Egypt and back to Canaan. Bold of him to put that on God's to-do list.
Joseph is mummified and put into a coffin. And that's where we wrap our season. One thing that I found interesting is that they didn't name the individual episodes. So all the episodes in this season are just numbered 1 through 12, but they named the season. They named the whole season Genesis. That was something that you don't typically see. So I wonder if they're trying out something new with this show, a new way of getting people engaged with the story arcs for the season.
Looking back on episode 1, I can see it makes sense that they had that title card, Genesis. I mistakenly thought that was like the production company or something. And also, obviously, the word Genesis means new creation. Though, really, the actual Genesis part of Genesis was actually a very small part.
According to myth, the Earth was created in 6 days. Now, watch out. Here comes Genesis. We'll do it for you in 6 minutes.
Good point. We really only had the first episode where there was
Yes. The
creation. And then the second episode, there was the destruction.
Yeah, the
redo. And then we went on from there.
Give up Genesis, she said. What in God's name does it mean?
It's not common for a show to name the whole season. So yet another innovation that we've seen here out of the Holy Bible, constantly pushing the envelope as far as modern TV is concerned.
Absolutely.
Who would have thought they could have adapted the technology this quickly?
We have, throughout the season, had a number of regular questions that we've asked, and normally we ask them at the end. But given what we're talking about today, we should maybe address this now. So I'm going to ask you, Deanna, what do we think about this God character?
I am not the God of war. I am the God of truth.
God likes to watch. He's a prankster.
Blasphemy. You're lucky I don't cast you out or smite you or something.
You've been doing a lot of complaining about me. Quite frankly, I'm tired of it.
How shall we fuck off, O Lord?
I've done a lot of thinking about the God character. I have so much headcanon to share, but the conclusion that I've come to is I think there's something else happening behind the scenes. I think someone else is in charge.
Interesting. Really.
I think God may be omnipotent. He certainly is very powerful. He made the whole world.
It literally is Genesis.
But he's clearly not omniscient. He's dropped the ball any number of times this season. I wonder if in season 2, maybe we're going to see God's parent or God's handler or somebody else like that, somebody who has put him in this role and is trying to see how he does. What do you think?
So you're saying God is middle management, is what you're saying.
A little bit. Yeah. God is giving me some vibes that he's gotten some general directive from somebody and is trying his best to carry it out, but is not really following Commander's intent quite as that person or being or alien or whatever has intended.
Is God receiving potentially messages or directives, or is someone external possessing him at key moments and making him do certain things.
Oh, that's interesting. I was mostly thinking that he was receiving orders or suggestions from somebody else.
Do you think that we have already seen the person who is behind the scenes pulling the strings in a kind of a undercover boss scenario where it's one of the existing characters?
Wow. You know what? I didn't think so. But now that you say that, that would be such a fabulous reversal. Who would that be?
Well, we talked about one character who seemed to have something on God, from how he was giving him 10%, a lot of different things, talking back to God in a way we'd never seen before.
Interesting.
I wonder.
So you're going to put some money on Jacob here.
Jacob or Joseph? That assumes that God would know about it. Another alternative is it's a character who God doesn't know, and that's the real undercover boss.
Someone is secret shopping God.
Exactly.
That's what I think of this God character. Marcus, what do you think of this God character now that I've served up this absolutely insane fan theory?
My mind is reeling. I would say he seems like different characters. Sometimes he's really anal about things. He's oddly specific about what he wants and what he gives to people. And other times he's very slapdash, even relaxed when people are talking back to him. So it feels like multiple personalities. That's another possible theory. Is this, you know, in TV and movies, often inaccurately, multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder will be shown. And it will often be a case where the person switches from personality to personality. But that honestly would explain how it is that God has so many different personalities, from flamboyant drama student, wherein he'll declare there's going to be a professional wrestling match that will last all night.
Yep.
Get your ass out here right now and let's settle this like men. Whoa!
Right, he puts on a show all the way through to phoning it in and being a slacker, where he's like, oh yeah, the next person to offer you water is going to be the wife, take it back. Whoever first does it. All the way through to giving long lists of things that people need to get or people will have, like a recipe. There is no one God. God seems to be very different people, and it makes it really difficult to give a judgment, so to speak, about him.
Yeah. God is large. He contains multitudes. I like that take a lot. Do you think that that's deliberate on the part of the writers and the directing team? Or do you think that's a symptom of the fact that these episodes through the season have been directed by, and in some cases, written by different teams? So do you think that this was part of an overall plan to have God feel like he had multiple different personalities? Or is that something that happened in production?
It's so extreme that I think it happened in production. And the reason I say that is I've got in mind the Star Wars sequel trilogy, which was written and directed by J.J. Abrams. It was 1 and 3, and then Rian Johnson did number 2. And you have this mess of a trilogy where number 2 undoes a bunch of stuff that's from number 1, and then number 3 comes along and tries to undo what number 2 did. So it's a complete mess, and that's because there wasn't one overarching story that was agreed upon, and each person came in and had their idea. So I worry that that was it. I'm leaving out hope that we discover something in the next season that explains it all. I saw God's eyes were flashing different colors in the trailer, the teaser trailer for next season. At the time, I thought, oh, is that power levels? But now I wonder, is that reflecting different personalities taking over God's form?
Yeah, that is super interesting. And so we might see some focus in on these different personalities from God. Definitely we'll keep an eye on those eyes. Great point. So my first question for you is a little bit of a cheat because I put two questions in one. What's one thing that we saw a lot of in season one that you're excited to see more of, and something that you would like to see less of in season two?
Ooh, what do I want to see more of? Well, I want to see more of God because he went AWOL for a while. So I want to see more of him, especially because things can get very dramatic when he's on screen. The actor's very charismatic. I want to see more of him. What do I want to see less of? Well, I definitely want to see less recaps within the episode. Characters telling other characters things that we've already seen. We just saw it, and you're describing it. I think this is the result of this phenomena that's increasing in television, where the producers and writers and studio heads are assuming that people are on their phone while they're watching. So they don't think it's enough to just show you. They have to verbally tell you it again because they're assuming you weren't paying attention the first time. That's the only explanation I can think of why you would have this. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sort of done with it, really. I don't need to hear it all again. It's show, don't tell for a reason.
I'm reliving the same day over and over.
What about you?
I'd like some more strong female characters. We've had a few. We've had Rebecca being really strong and active and pushing Jacob in there to steal the blessing. We've had Tamar dressing up as a prostitute. We've had Dina standing up for herself and fighting her way out of that tower. And who could forget Eve, of course, from our first episode. But it feels like they fizzle out and the writers don't quite know what to do with them. So I think whoever is writing them in, write them in a little bit more. That's what I would really love to see. One thing I like to see less of, I think funerals. We have had so many funerals and we get react shots from everybody in the crowd and everyone's crying and everyone's sad and they play the sad music and sometimes it's raining and just like, it's enough. I'm done.
Fair enough.
Okay. Over to you.
What I'm going to do for my first question is I am going to draw on something that you introduced last episode. And I'm going to say, let's have a session of name that blessing.
Oh no. Oh no, I dished it out and now I'm being served.
Oh yeah, baby.
We want you to tell us the answer.
You want answers?
We'd really like an answer.
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists.
That's okay, I'm just auditing.
So here we go. I have three questions for you.
Okay.
Now, the theme of this is numerical. All of these questions have numbers as the answer.
Do I need some scratch paper or something? I feel like I need to like
use your mental scratch pad.
Okay.
Mental scratch pad. Okay, here we go. The first question is, how many blessings were given out this season?
Oh my God.
My asterisk is as follows. If multiple things are being blessed at the same time, it doesn't count. So blessed are the this and blessed are the that. If it's the same sentence, that's just one blessing. But alluding to a past blessing does count. So if someone says, I was blessed this morning by God, I know no one literally said that, but that you don't have to see the blessing if it's actually mentioned there is a blessing has been performed. And I want to give you opportunity to get this right. So I'm going to accept plus or minus 10%.
I'm going to work backwards here. Jacob blessed all 12 of his sons, that's 12, and then Isaac blessed Jacob with the super magical one-time only blessing, and God blessed Jacob with a new name. Those are the big ones that I can remember. I feel like there must have been some other ones, but that puts us up to 15, is that right? I'll just go 15.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, 15, final answer, I'll just go with that. How am I doing? I had no hope of getting this one correct.
The correct answer is 26.
26?
26.
Oh my God.
Blessings. Yeah. I will add, if you watch the show again, you might disagree with that number because there are a few ambiguous, was I being blessed? Was he talking about a blessing I'd already done? I tried to take that into account, but that's why I had the plus or minus 10%. But yeah, 26.
Okay.
Well, let's see how you do on the second question. Number two. Okay. Here we go. And this one, I'm not going to accept anything but the right answer.
Oh okay. No.
How many times were people told to be fruitful and multiply?
There is definitely at least two for Adam and Eve, and there is definitely one for Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives after the ark. So there's at least three. Three is a good number. I'll go with three.
Five. The answer is five.
I was closer on that one.
You were closer. And I would have accepted six because there is one where Jacob is recounting being told to be fruitful and multiply. So he's technically not telling anyone. He's just describing that it's happened before. So I would have accepted six, but I'm afraid five or six. Question number three. How many blessings were ordered to men and how many to women?
Okay, well, apropos my earlier comments, we have at least twice or three times more going to men than to women. So I feel very confident that there is a huge discrepancy here.
Maybe I should rethink this and say, what is the ratio of men to women?
Let's do that. Because I'm not going to get the exact numbers.
Right.
As
ratio.
We have previously seen. Obviously, it's greater for men than for women. So I'm going to say 4-1. failing the game that I myself invented. All the humanity.
The answer is 3-2.
Really?
Yes.
That is way closer.
I was surprised too. Because 9 and 6 are the things that are going into that. And so, unlucky this time, but join us next time for Name That Blessing.
My second question for you is, what prop would you like to own from this season?
Well, the Ark.
Whoa, the whole Ark.
Yep, in my garden.
Oh my goodness.
I need a new house and a new garden, but I would make it into an Airbnb.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love that. Stay in the actual Ark. Mm-hmm. Run your hands over the fine gopher wood joinery that we have here.
Hire some actors to be in character, like Disney did for Star Wars Hotel. You go for a 2-day experience when you are on the Ark and use some kind of projection to make it look like you're at sea. It'd be great.
That's big for our local economy and our tourism because this is an entirely new experience. They call it like a cruise-like style resort experience.
That would be great. I'm going to do you one better. You need to make it a cat cafe.
Sure. And it could be pairs of different types of cats and different colors of cats. 2 ginger cats, 2 brown, 2 black cats, like pairs of different forms of cat. That would be fun.
On the Ark 2x2.
What about you? What would you own?
I was coveting the staff and cord that Jacob was carrying when he slept with Tamar. It just looks badass and it would go so well with my Renfair costume. It has a real wizard's vibe. So that's the one that I've got my eye on. And I can store that in my closet. So I win.
Nice. My question for you is, who was your favorite character?
Which one of these talented entertainers who I am not attracted to at all will be the winner? I'm not attracted to any of them. None of them.
I'm going for Esau. I think that actor was doing a really good job, but also he's one of the characters that we got to see multiple sides of. He had a lot of complexities. He had a lot of complicated relationships with each of his parents and with his brother. And I just loved when he was on screen. You didn't quite know it was going to happen. We got a lot of great stories with that character. So Esau is my answer. How about you?
Lot. Because Danny DeVito played him so well. And I just loved Lot's energy. I just loved everything about him. And
the incest. You loved the incest. That was great.
That wasn't his fault. That wasn't his fault.
True. True. That was not that his character's daughter's fault. Yes.
But, you know, we got to see him around his family. We got to see him in a cave. He was just fun to be around. I enjoyed seeing Danny DeVito on screen, as always.
Very nice performance. Very nice and clean performance.
My next question is related. So pick 3 characters.
Okay.
Marry one, fuck one, kill one. Go.
Oh my God. All right. Who do I kill? That feels like the easier one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just thinking about characters that really annoyed me. I would kill Isaac.
Really?
And I would kill Isaac because he just sat around and had his dad hand him things, including a wife.
Yeah.
And I was just generally unimpressed. I don't want to blame him too much. He had a hell of a childhood. So I don't want to blame him for it. But in terms of like actually being around, I'm going to kill Isaac. For fuck, Eve, she was gorgeous. And she seemed fun, at least with the snake. She had fantastic chemistry. I had a kind of a wit about her. And in terms of Mary, Rachel seemed like she had a good head on her. Rachel was actually in control for part of the plot. She seemed kind of reasonable, if I'm remembering correctly. How about you?
Oh, good trio. My easy one is fuck. I'm fucking Joseph.
Mm.
Wow. Not marrying him, though. Mm-mm. So I'm going to fuck Joseph. I'm going to kill Shahem. Toxic masculinity incarnate. He can die. He did die, and I'm going to kill him again. He deserved it.
Fair enough.
I might regret this, but I think I'm going to marry Rebecca.
Mm.
She's got a good head on her shoulders. She keeps a tight household. She cooks some goat really nicely. She's decisive about what she wants. She seems like she's a good communicator, and I appreciate that. And she's married to Isaac, right? So she certainly has some patience, which is an important thing in a long-term relationship.
Wouldn't you be worried that she is going to come up with some scheme to challenge your will, literally your will, in terms of inheritance and so on? Your decisions you make about who gets what among your kids, you're going to be tricked.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe we're just not having children. Maybe that's the issue here. We're just going to hang out. We're going to eat some goat stew, and it's going to be cool.
Now comes the surprising bit. We moisten sackcloth and muslin, then lay banana leaves on top, which we'll use to wrap up the goat.
My question for you is, what was your favorite disguise?
Oh, good question. How many disguises did we even have?
I can think of three.
You have just gone all accountant today. You're like up on the numbers. The obvious answer here is the goat disguise from Jacob to Esau. The other one that comes to mind is when Tamar dressed up as a prostitute to lure Judah. I really liked that B-plot from that week's episode, and I thought she looked great and was really working it. So I'm going to go with that one. Yeah, what's your favorite disguise?
It's tricky. I'll say that in the mix was Leia pretending to be Rachel.
Does it count as a disguise if you're naked?
Yeah, okay, fair enough. That was an uncertain. Okay, fair. Okay, fair. Well. Another one was God and his professional wrestling getup.
Tonight we're going to do it WWE style. Let's get down. Let's jiggy with it. Come on, God. Let's see what you got. Come on.
McMahon wants God to get jiggy with it.
Yes.
That was a hell of a
great
disguise.
That was a good one.
For sure.
I mean, I feel like we're both just dancing around the obvious one. Like, oh, I don't want to give the obvious answer. Clearly, winner number one is the goat costume that Jacob wore to pretend to be Esau. As we're coming out of season one and heading into season two, what is a big question that you still have about the world building for this fantasy world that we're exploring? What's something that you think needs to be dug into a little bit more here?
How is God spending his day?
Oh, great question.
All of this stuff is happening. Some of it according to his wishes, some of it not. Either way, he seems to have a vested interest in some characters and they go through some stuff. And he doesn't seem to be doing anything. Occasionally we go over to him. He's had to answer the phone when he's in the shower or something. But ultimately, I don't know what he's doing. What is he doing during this time? My headcanon is that he has about 200 other planets that he's visiting and doing his godlike thing there. That's my headcanon. But I would like to know what he's up to. Does he have a job? What is that job?
Yeah, like, is this his side hustle where he's got to go push the paper 9 to 5 and then he can come home and remember that Joseph is still in jail 2 years later and then go get him out? What do you think God's job would be if he has a job?
From how he's acting, given that he's been very bossy and he's seemed to like father knows best about a lot of things, I would say he's probably in HR. That would be my guess. Okay. Classic human resources personality.
Yeah. And he definitely dislikes his boss.
Yes.
So when he gets home, it's all about what he wants to do.
What question do you have for next season that you would like to see resolved?
I would like to see a little bit more clarity about this whole having babies for someone else's team situation. Obviously, being fruitful and multiplying and having descendants and who is whose child is a really big deal for these characters. And that's something that this world takes very seriously as part of its base rules, but I don't think they're very clear about what counts for what under what circumstances. And we had a couple of characters get zapped over this very issue. And so I'd want to know a little bit more about how these family relationships are supposed to work.
My question for you next then is, what was your favorite object that you saw in God's house?
Oh, great question. Well, we haven't seen it very much, but God definitely has a little koi pond or a pool on one side of the giant living room, and there's a really cool looking pitcher that's sitting next to it that occasionally he'll be dumping something into the koi pond, some kind of special liquid or something like that. I'd really like to learn more about what kind of nutrients he's going in there and what the mix of salt and fresh water is and if the fish have any powers to them and if that's something he's replenishing from this very special looking pitcher that he's got sitting on the stand next to the koi pond. So that's something we've really only caught either in the background of wide shots or as the camera is panning by very quickly. What's your choice?
I liked all the little signs that he had. For example, there was that one that said, "Me bless our home." And I thought that was interesting. And cleanliness is next to meanness was also another one. Ironically, that sign covered in pasta sauce. That's what's going to happen when you put it near the stove.
Right.
So all of those little signs were very interesting. I'm looking forward to having a shot go through the house so that we can see more of his little signs that he's put up in various places.
That's fantastic. I would love that. Amen. My last question that I put together for today, maybe slightly more serious. What kind of advice or life lessons do you think this show is trying to impart? There's been a lot of talk online about how we're supposed to be drawing lessons from these characters, and there's a moral foundation that these stories are trying to teach us. Honestly, I'm asking this question because I've had trouble seeing it, so I'm hoping you can help me reason this through. What do you think this show is trying to teach us?
Fake it till you make it. Because Amen. God has been faking it till he makes it with the Ark instructions. Clearly, we saw that. Very confident about something he doesn't really know much about. Joseph was constantly faking it till he's making it, just interpreting dreams, and that seemed to take him really far. Just have high confidence and it will take you far. It seems to be the message that I'm getting from this show.
That's good. Maybe that's what God does when he's not messing with all of our characters. He's in the bathroom in front of the mirror doing power poses. Like
that,
yeah,
or he's writing a self-help book.
Oh, yep. That's possible.
But yeah, power poses from God. I could see him doing that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Making sure his hair is the right way and you got to feel good about yourself, and you walk out into your day and you say, yes, that needs to be 13 cubits, not one cubit more, not one cubit less. I think the main lesson that I'm taking from this show, thinking back over the season, is favoritism is good. Well, at least the writers seem to think this. They certainly are on board with, hey, if you have a favorite child or if you have a favorite creation, then go ahead and let that show. It just was a bell that they kept ringing through the whole season. So it really seems to be something that this show wants to convey. God liked Adam definitely more than Eve. God liked Noah more than everybody else on the planet. And he likes Abraham, absolutely loves Joseph. I don't know what's up with all of these dumb, pretty guys that God is into.
My question for you is, what merch would you like to see?
Oh, wow. I mean, you just mentioned the "Me bless this house" sign. I would love a little cross stitch kit of that in the shop. I think that would be super fun.
What I really want to see is basically a Ken doll of Joseph that I can put the coat on. I can swap out the coat for a bloodstained coat.
Nice.
I could put it back to a uniform of when he's on top of the world, second in charge of Egypt or whatever. That's what I really want to see. I'd love to have a Joseph figurine or a doll where you can swap out different outfits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get regular Joseph and then you can get battle damage Joseph and you can switch him back and forth. Fantastic.
Okay,
something more than t-shirts. Please get that shop going. Holy Bible producers, do you hate money? I will buy all sorts of stuff.
One question for you is, out of everything that you saw in the season, what was your favorite costume? Who was the best dressed?
I mean, again, this one has the obvious answer that Joseph had his super magical special coat with the sparkly underwear. I don't know if I'd call that best dressed. I think they might have gone a little bit too overboard, though. I did appreciate their inclusion of the special tailor consultant to make sure that that had a very special look.
I thought you might prove useful.
Well, it's been known to happen.
But just in terms of fit and finish and like a costume that really seemed to work for the actor, I'm going with Noah. Mm-hmm. I really think that Noah's outfit that he was wearing as he was building the ark, it was stylish, but it was practical. He's clearly a man who knows a lot about construction and how things are put together and how to do all of the seams and the edges so that the ark would be watertight. And I think he brought the same care and attention to his clothing. So it had that nice tool belt on it, but it still had a little bit of flow in the way that the robe was cut and the sleeve seemed to be just the right length. So I thought that that character looked really sharp. And I know you're a man who knows about costuming and the finer details of creating a good costume. So what's your answer to that question?
Sons of Heth. The leather, the spikes, which were kind of ironic, but in a good way. They just had so much going on. I saw a bit of glam rock in there. I saw a bit of classic rock. They were just very stylish in a confident way, and I really liked it, especially when they had their guitars. It really brought the whole outfit together.
They were just loving life the most. I really loved their whole deal. And if I can put in a vote for season two, hey, producers, bring back the Sons of Heth.
Or the Daughters of Heth.
Children of Heth World Tour. Oh, could they put out a music video? I know you asked about merch, but if they put out a Sons of Heth music video, that would be tremendous. I would love that. Would watch the shit out of that.
I could see that going viral.
We certainly had some really good moments here in season one, but now is the moment that you've all been waiting for. Marcus, what was the weirdest name from the Holy Bible season one?
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Say my name.
Bicus. Dicus.
You're goddamn right.
I have a very great friend in Rome called Bicus Dicus.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait, no, seriously, what's your actual name?
Wait, your Bicus Dicus hears of this.
Wow, what a difficult one this was. I feel like this is the sort of question you ask, and I'm going to have a different answer every day that you ask, because there are so many possible contenders. And I've narrowed it down to two. So I know I'm cheating a little bit, but one is a more of just a personal one, which is Lot. And I say Lot because every time someone says that's a lot or it's a lot since our recording, I immediately go back to the recording and hear you say it's a lot.
Yeah.
So every time that happens in my life now, I hear that in my head. So for pure influence, I will have to go with Lot. That's my one. And the second one, which is more just a fun one that I like, I got to like Mamre, am I right? Am I right? Mamre, am I right? I love the ludicrous nature of that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Those are terrific choices. Classics all around.
What about you?
I'm going for someone who actually didn't get one of our episode names, but who did get mentioned. And the more I think about it, the weirder it gets. And that's why I'm going for it for the whole season. So my choice is Basemath, wife of Esau, because that one was an unforced error. She picked that name for herself. This wasn't one of these cases where the midwives union, who is apparently required by law to just write down the first thing that the parent says when they're recording the name on the form. That's how we got that's how we got on. So those are just parents being deer in the headlights. But Basemath is her own choice. And so the more you think about it, that was the name that she went with, it's just too weird for words. Do you think we're going to continue to get weird names in season two? God, I hope so.
I hope so too. I think that either it's going to be more weird names or they're going to reuse the existing weird names. Joseph Jr., that kind of thing. I'm wondering if we'll get that.
Then we get another bite at the apple for some of these that are
weird
names that didn't make it to our lists because there were so many.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll get some combinations. Seth the Heth. That would be interesting.
That's good.
A blessing from the Lord.
Before Deanna and Marcus wrap up this episode, I am here to tell you that my 11th commandment is: you shall not enjoy this podcast without rating and reviewing it.
Good idea, O Lord.
Help others to find this podcast by rating and reviewing it on your podcast app. Now let's return to the action.
God be praised.
Me be praised. God out.
Well, going over all of those aspects, plot beats, characters, really reminds me just how much of a roller coaster it's been in season one, how many genres we ended up seeing. It was quite a lot all round. And I'm curious about season two, obviously. One thing I'm wondering is, are we going to keep having this genre hopping where it can be a comedy, a drama, a romance, a tragedy? It can be dull, it can be exciting. I'm going to wonder if we're going to hop around or if it's going to find its feet. A lot of shows figure their characters out and they figure out where they're going in their first season and then it gets good. So I'm wondering if this is what we're going to see here. Because there is this break between seasons, writers will have a bit more of a chance to cement the scripts. There might be some writers leaving, some writers coming on. Mm-hmm. I think this is the time when we're going to see a change of some kind. So yeah. I'm curious about what the tone of season two will be.
Yeah, this show has definitely kept us on our toes. We had heist movie, we had porno, we've had the whole range of emotion. I agree, I'd like to see them dial it in a little bit more tightly for season two. I think maybe I'm just not ready for this avant-garde kind of storytelling and I'd like something that settles in maybe to like 5 or 6 genres instead of 9 or 10. I'm really excited to find out what kind of journey they're going to take us on when season two drops.
So with that, next week we will be taking a week off, but then we'll be back, right back at you with season 2, episode 1. So until then, I will say, Deanna, pod be with you.
And pod be with you, Marcus.
Amen.
Amen.
To continue the conversation, follow us on social media at Wrath of Pod. To get in touch, email us at mail@wrathofpod.com. Pod be with you.
All views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and are presented for entertainment and commentary purposes only. Any third-party music, clips, or other media are included solely for the purpose of critique, commentary, review, or transformative use, all of which fall within fair use. We make no claim of ownership over included third-party material, which remains the property of its respective owners. This podcast is not affiliated with, endorsed by, or sponsored by any of the creators, owners, or distributors of included media.